This is the Realm of Agape Christian Church.
James 1:12. Thank God I'm in the King James Version at first. Then I'm going to switch to the NIV for grammatical understanding. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Don't forget, he said in other verses of scripture, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. So people that say they love him but not doing the whole thing, they don't really love him. Amen. So this love is inclusive of his commandments being obeyed and him being trusted. Go to James 1:12. I'm in the NIV now. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Now we go to Matthew. There's a narrative in Jesus' life, the temptation. Matthew 4:1-11. I'm choosing the NIV to help us with understanding. It's closer to our grammatical vernacular. It says here, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus answered him, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended unto Jesus." Amen. Father, we thank you for these scriptures. We know that you have tied them together. Bless me in this earthly body to go forward in the Holy Ghost, to render the message as you would see fit. We know you're able. Bless the souls that receive the word. May we become better disciples for you. Salt that hasn't lost its savor. And we know you're able. Light that hasn't diminished in its brightness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, this message comes to encourage us to go into, amen, newness. We are regrouping and recouping in the Holy Ghost, right? He's going to renew our strength as soldiers of Christ. And we have a destiny and we have a purpose. Amen. And God is going to give us new vitality and power through the Holy Ghost. His omnipotence will prevail against Satan's agenda, enabling all of us to prevail. However, we must adhere to the teachings of the Holy Ghost as we continuously learn about the hindrances to watch and pray about. And this is part two, how to endure temptation. Mm-hmm. Amen. So we're dealing with what? How to endure temptation. When we endure temptations, that phrase there, endure temptations, here's what we're doing. We are prevailing against the devil's proposals of disobedience to God's will. He's always bringing these proposals, and he brings them on a platinum platter. He told me, "Oh, you want a lot of souls?
You got to do this. You got to tweak it a little bit. Now you got to do this. You got to do that. Not so much. Don't preach so much about this. Preach more about this and this and this. He's giving me formulas, right? How the postmodern culture, status quo preacher is going forth so that they could build towards that idolatrous sized mega church that we see broadcasted on television and other places. So we begin to have a competitive spirit based on idolatry, amen, and based on in the Ten Commandments, where number 10, what are we doing? Coveting, right? So a lot of ministries are based on covetousness. If you dig real deep, you will find that they are in commandment number 10, breach of commandment number 10, coveting, amen, your neighbor's everything, my God. And God did not call us to a coveting contest. Amen. He did not. We are not supposed to be competing with one another, but we ought to be building one another up in the most holy faith, not in the most fleshly competition. Amen. Thank God. In judging ourselves according to what everybody else is doing or saying or what they have. You got how many square feet? We got this many square feet. Oh, my goodness. You got how many in the choir? Oh, please. We got this many in the choir. That's just our traveling group size. We got this in the choir. You know, I'm not saying anything that doesn't get talked about. Amen. I've heard it all. Even to the point of our church choir girls are prettier than yours. What size speakers they have and what size, what kind of audio video equipment they have, how many channels they are on and such, and the price of their office equipment and the price of the door that I entered in to go into their office so that they could show off their stuff. You know how much that door costs? And they wanted to prove that it costs more than the rent I'm paying on a monthly. And this is how people are living out there. They will, amen, not build each other up in the most holy faith. They will tear each other down in the most fleshly competitive spirit, which is not what Jesus called us to do. Amen. It's a temptation. My God, one of the hindrances to watch and pray about. This message is coming against such things. Yes, instead of giving into hell-bound proposals that the devil will bring, we must resist him. I have to resist him on a daily. When we do that, God is calling us to become completely repulsed by everything that the devil offers. Everything. It's glittering and it's golden. And the aromas are popping with nice aromas and spices and everything. It's just using our senses to our disadvantage. And he's calling us like that. Sin calls. It's mimicking God. God calls. And sin also is counter calling. I like those hymns when I was a little boy in the Baptist church, and we would sing them at night in the prayer meeting. Jesus is tenderly calling today, calling today, calling today. Amen. And as soon as we get out, the teenagers and all of them are all around, amen, while the parents are chit-chatting after church, and they're getting into stuff. The devil is also what? Calling. And they're worrying about who's going with whom, who's in love with whom, and who's going to sneak around the corner and kiss whom. Writing little notes in church, amen. My God, and I had to withdraw myself from there, and I had to be called mama's boy and all kinds of things. Jealous because the pastor would call me up and say, this young man is going somewhere. Look at him. He's like a young old man. And that made life worse for me. I said, Pastor, why did he have to say that? And now after prayer meeting, I'm getting chased by church bullies. Isn't that a shame? That's a shame. Church bullies. My God. Because I wanted to, amen, do what was right in the sight of God. And that's a shame. But not everybody that comes to church is listening to the call of God. Some are listening to the call of the devil. Because the devil does come to church wearing Prada. My gospel. See, but the enemy's proposals, they're always going to be detrimental in the end. They're always going to be weakening. They are going to be a hindrance to the well-being of our soul, mind, and body. Those things that keep you from totally surrendering your complete self to God's will may or may not be overtly satanic. They don't look satanic, but they are. At the start, some things are tolerable. That's how it begins. Even irresistibly acceptable. But they could very well be a luring device of Satan, which may have an ultimately destructive end. Of course, it will. Satan wants to play with us, make sport of us. Like when Samson got caught out there, they began to make sport of him, the scripture said. When we are bound up with our own lusts, drawn by our own lusts and enticed and get hooked in, the devil can pull us down to the point where we're now far from the peaceful shore, and now we are in some valley low, and now we have brought ourselves into outer darkness, and there's regret there. I wish I had done this. I wish I had done it. It's a foretaste of what hell is, amen, vehemently about, if you put it on steroids, times eternity. My God. And we don't want that in our lives. When we get caught out there, it's not a good feeling. Amen. And we want to make it right. But sometimes we don't want to give it up. So we try to make it right for the moment. And we rededicate our life in front of the church. And we pray in the prayers. And we recite prayer poems and such. And, but we're holding on to things in our heart. But the devil hasn't, amen, been one that has become repulsive yet. So he knows he still has a hook on us. God is calling for us, though, to lay aside every weight and sin that will hinder and disqualify us from ministering as dear saints called and used by God. But the trick of the enemy is to get us to do our evils in Jesus' name. Imagine that. These things seem right to do, but they are far from what God intends for us to do in his good, acceptable, and perfect will. The enemy is subtle, cunning, deceitful, and deadly. His offering must not be yielded to. We must not engage in any form of his proposed benefits. His blessings are curses. There are no good devils. Disregard what the media portrays. The devil cannot be a protagonist of goodwill. He wants to fool the highest of God's chosen ones. He wants to be God himself. Remember what he said. He's going to ascend to the highest north. His false care will captivate your attention away from his detriment and onto your pacified wants. That's how he tricks us. He may seem good to you at first, but he will make you lie to steal from and even emotionally, socially, and physically harm others to keep his provisions of selfishness and self-centeredness. It is best to leave him alone. Amen. Avoiding his traps. Don't play with fire. You're going to get burned. My God. You got to disregard his call. My God. When he's buzzing your phone. Amen. Ignore it. Put no, I don't want to be bothered. Amen. Take him out of your phone. My God. Block him. Oh, hallelujah. Unfriend him. Unfollow him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Nullify your established feelings for his false opportunities of fulfillment. You must, as the Bible says, resist him.
Yes.
He will flee when resisted. He must be resisted over and over again, since he will come back at other opportune times, attempting to annihilate you, not giving you a fair chance to succeed over him. He wants to go in for the kill. The devil should be resisted because he will only destroy us and our household. My God. It's not just after us. He's after the whole family. God has made a way of victory over this rascal. God has even made a way for us to be more than a conqueror. For God shall, amen, help us to enjoy the spoils. Amen, as we take back what the devil stole. Ultimately, heaven will be our final but eternal state of blessed completion in God's presence.
Yes.
Forever and ever. Hallelujah. The devil can be resisted. That's good news right there. He can be resisted. You may be temporarily bound or slightly hindered, but your deliverance is coming. Hallelujah. God showed us how to endure or prevail against three main types of temptations the devil will use against us. The bread, pinnacle drop, and worship temptations, all proposed by Satan. They were a counteraction that was placed strategically as weaponry from hell. Amen, to come in. But Jesus, amen, used the Bible correctly to counteract them. Amen. In heaven's strategy. Amen. Hell has a strategy, but heaven has a counter strategy, which will, amen, defeat the devil completely. The anointing of God does what? Destroys the devil's yokes of bondage, my God. So these temptations that I listed have been revealed by the Holy Spirit to represent specific fiery darts that Satan wants to destroy us with. These darts are revealed in 1 John 2:16. The lust or appetite of the flesh, the lust or appetite of the eye, and the pride of life. Let's look at the devil's darts that he used to, amen, try to destroy the ministry of Jesus. Number one, temptation of bread. This temptation appeals to our lusts rooted in our physical body. Physically gratifying deeds. Everything that deals with the body. The devil will come after your appetites in the body. He develops mental appetites, psychological appetites, sensual appetites, all types of appetites are related to the temptation of bread. Hallelujah. Number two, the pinnacle drop or temptation of false faith. Remember in the last sermon, we talked about false food and false fellowship. But look at the Holy Ghost bringing in what? False faith. There's a such thing. This appeals to our lusts for pride. And this is why people lay hands suddenly on folk. They say, oh, that church didn't promote you. Come over here. I'll promote you because I got that. All kind of nepotisms going on. My God. And all the kinds of constituencies based on friendship on a carnal level. They try to say we are a kindred spirit. But sometimes birds of a feather flop together. Hallelujah. Anyhow, it's a false faith. It appeals to the lust of your pride. Usurping God's authority to build one's self up before you build others up. It's a vain glory. It's a false kind of honor. And it's authority seeking. Some people want to be in that ivory tower of high callings, and they have high titles, as if, amen, bishop is not enough. You need to be an archbishop now. Amen. And apostle is not enough. You need to be an arch apostle. Amen. They got all kind of titles being developed. Fleshly creativity based on this lust for pride. Usurping God's authority to build our own selves up and our little constituents all up. Amen. We're going to build ourselves so up. Amen. My God, my God. Now, those who oppress and beat others in the head with their title or authority will be tempted mightily with this temptation. Oh, if they got some social emotional perplexities looming about in their personality, oh, it's going to come out strong when you get that title. Oh my gosh, you're going to mash people under your manicured foot. You're going to mash them down under your alligator shoe. Well, shine patent leathers, you're going to have somebody's soul up under there mashing people down. My God, because you have the temptation of pride. It has taken you over. A little leaven of pride is going to take over the whole temple, which should be the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now it's the temple of your pride. My God, pride temple. My God. Now, people in this situation, they want admiration. They want flattery. They want applause. They want praise. Somebody put them down in that other house. Oh, we're going to build a house that will keep us built up in the most unholy pride. My God. But as Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. My God. The third temptation. Temptation of idolatrous worship. What an oxymoron. But there are idols that are being worshipped. Think about it. This temptation appeals to the lusts of the eyes. Gaining the whole world, right? We have the auspices in our heart and spirit to gain the whole world. Oh, the world is not enough. I need more, I need more, I need more. Now they have multi-universes now out there, right? First, people are praying to the universe. Now they believe there's more than one universe. Folks are creating all kind of universes because they are in their own little world. Elmo might have started it off. He had a little hymn he called Elmo's World. My God, and now everybody got their own world. My God. And now they go from world to universe. And then they have the Miss Universe pageant, don't they? My God, it's not just Miss Universe, it's Miss the Universe too. My God, because men are just as bad, even though they don't have a pageant. They certainly have a pastoral office. My God. Hallelujah anyhow. But amen. When you try to gain the whole world, at least as many worldly possessions as you can possibly get, even at the expense of one's own soul, selling out to the devil, selling out to the world, selling out to someone too dear to you, covetous to riches and extravagance. What's the order of the day? In this temptation, extravagance. My God. Instead of strengthening your needy souls with the agenda of our sinful flesh, materialism, and selfish ambition, we must become whole through Christ Jesus. Some folks need counseling. Amen. Oh, I want to be a pastor. I've been called. Yeah, that's good. Well, I need you to take this psychological test. Let's look at, see the ink on the page. What does this look like? Amen. Ink blot test. Thank you, Jesus. Go through the ink blot test. Let's go through a several psychologists in case there was some, you know, counter transference that happened when you got counseled. The counselor needed counseling and he messed up and let you get on through. No, loose here. You're not going to get through like that with Jesus, though. He's a mighty, omniscient counselor. Amen. Yes, he is. You're not going to get through on Jesus like that. My God. You see, Jesus does not want us entrenched in selfish ambition like that. Amen. Christ is Savior. And we need to learn how to let Christ be God and use the Word of God as he did. Don't change the Word in your self-centered version of the Word, so you can control people in your little world and your situation you call a church. My God. But we need to use the Word of God the way Jesus used it and be filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was whispering in my spirit this week about people who are fluent in speaking in tongues. But the Holy Ghost comes to work on us. He allows us to worship God, and we can speak with tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. But I wish there was a prophet or a prophetess in the house that, amen, helped the person to see that the Holy Ghost is talking to them, not to everybody. Sometimes he's trying to get you delivered from something. Amen. And you need to sit and listen to him in your prayer closet and get it right. Let the demons get all, amen, exercise out of you. Amen. Then come to the house washed and cleaned. Amen. And filled and sealed. Filled and sealed by the Holy Ghost. Some of us are, amen, proposed things from the devil, and we're listening to him while Jesus is trying to, amen, fit for our soul, amen, and fix us up, amen, deliver us from proclivities we were, amen, socially hurt by. We develop certain kind of bruised egos and characteristics, and we are built on that scab, and we go on forth and don't get healed, but we want to get elevated. My God. A lot of folk elevated haven't been healed. Leading and bleeding. Sometimes because of stuff that's in them. Some folks are leading and bleeding because of stuff that's happening to them. They are living for Jesus. They are loving the way Jesus said love. But folks around them are not. They have come to the house. They need the counsel of Jesus. Amen. Some folks need the counsel of Jesus and haven't received it. And they are wreaking havoc in the house of God. But you can't tell them nothing because they have the highest title. They are untouchables. They are untouchables. They are in the ivory tower. You can't touch me. I have elevated myself. I mean, I got elevated. And now you can't touch me. You can't say that to me. Have you read the scripture? Rebuke not an elder. Can't touch me. My God, this is what people are doing. But folks need to be delivered. My God, you need the Holy Ghost ink block test. Let the Holy Ghost talk to you and counsel you. Let him, amen, shed light on your evil proclivities. Every weapon formed against me shall not prosper in Jesus' name. That's true. But there's something in you that's been enabled to prosper against you because you didn't let go and let God. Let go and let God is sometimes saying you got to let go and forgive yourself. Amen. Forgive somebody that did something to you. Something happened to you as a child and you forgot because you buried it. Sometimes good counseling will help that come out and you can remember what happened. And now you can, amen, forgive that person, situation, whatever. And forgive yourself all the stuff you did because your psychology was based on that hurt. They say hurt people hurt others. Sometimes that is true. A lot of times it is true, but not necessarily. Those who have been raped will not become a rapist. Not all the time. Jesus can deliver. Jesus can set free. Amen. Sometimes the rapes can help counsel those who have been raped and help them to see Jesus and to be healed, delivered, and set free. Amen. I praise the Lord right there. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Oh, we praise you. We praise you.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. The devil will come with his evil darts against the body, the darts against our emotions, our pride and such, and darts against our eyes. We are trying to worship the way God would have us worship, but sometimes we are off the beaten track of God, and we begin to let the devil poison of that need to worship. Now, look at God. God has weapons. Yes, we can defeat the devil's darts. Let's call these God's worship weapons. Amen. Now, Jesus used the word of God to fight the good fight of faith against the devil in the wilderness. Number one, Jesus said, live by the holy word of God in all matters of your life, right? And guess what that's based on? Deuteronomy 8:3. Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy where it says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. They were put in a needy place because God helped them to escape out of sin, out of Egypt. And sometimes you're trudging forward in faith, and you're going to come between a rock and a hard place because that's what's out there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, what? They comfort me. Thou prepares a place for me. Amen. In the presence of my enemies. Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. It's nothing the devil could do about it. God's rod and staff are both going to comfort you. They're going to lead you and guide you Plus, they're going to club the devil and his wolves in the head to protect you from their vicious teeth. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's why the rod and staff have to be in the shepherd's hand. Thank God. He's not whipping you. He's just nudging you into the right area. But he's going, amen, club that devil in the head. Amen. I thank God he doesn't club us in the head. He's going against sin, not against us. Amen. He's trying to, amen, heal and save, deliver, and free us from sin. Change our mind so we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Hallelujah. That's why God showed this picture of the people of God walking through the desert and he fed them manna. My God. And in the New Testament, later on, after this narrative, we see in the New Testament explanations in James 4:7 that we ought to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and what? He will flee from you. Resist means you're hungry and thirsty to live. When you are a living soul, you're hungry and thirsty. You got to eat. You got to drink. You got to, amen, love something. You got to, amen, be a part of something. Those are all appetites, and the devil can come in and try to poison all of those things. Amen. But we're supposed to, amen, resist the devil. Amen. But we have to humble ourselves to God first. See, submit yourself to God. That means humble yourself. Jesus said, amen, he used Deuteronomy. God humbled you, causing you to hunger, right? Amen. And so he gave you a new hunger and a new thirst in the desert. You didn't have that same hunger and thirst in Egypt. You were fed by the devil. You were kept by the devil. And you were kept in bondage by the devil. He's feeding you, but he's keeping you in bondage. But God said, I'm going to set you free and give you a new mind, a new mind, a new heart. Amen. A new hunger, a new thirst. Amen. Amen. And this is why he's saying, resist the devil. Amen. Don't give in to the feelings that those feelings can go to the devil, but don't give him those feelings. You have feelings. Feelings aren't sinful. Feelings are just feelings. God created biology that way, psychology that way. Amen. But we have to, amen, not pitch our tent toward Sodom. We must pitch our tent toward glory, toward heaven. Amen. We must place our affections on things above where Jesus sits at the right hand of the throne of God the Father. Amen. That's what we must do. Home is where the heart is. Where's your hunger? Amen. Is it placed in God's hand? Who's going to take care of you? Or in the masked, protective hand of the devil, who is only going to destroy and annihilate you. My God. So be careful. Jesus whipped the devil real good by the holy word of God in all matters. He whipped them with that. Somebody changed the stones, the bread. Jesus was like, get out of here. Amen. Number two, amen. He took him. He said, well, I may not have been able to make you turn stones to bread, but let's see where your pride is. Let's see where your heart is. Let's see where your emotions are. So he took him to that pinnacle, right, for the pride test. But Jesus said, do not tempt the Lord. Amen. In other words, be satisfied by God's will, never growing impatient in the process of living by faith. And don't start murmuring and complaining to God and his servants. Don't be a glory thief like Satan. I will do this and I will do that. I will get elevated somewhere else. I will get the vestments that you have. And they're going to look better than yours next week. Even though I learned one scripture last week. My God, don't be a glory thief like Satan. It is not a coincidence, but symbolically inevitable, that some of the children of Israel had to face the destruction of their murmuring mouths and wicked ways as they were destroyed by serpents in the wilderness, as noted in Numbers 21, 5 through 8, and confirmed in 1 Corinthians 10, 9. You know what God did? He said it in John 3 in the gospel. Before we get to John 3, 16, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, you know, must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, this is what it is. God had to show that picture of the folk murmuring and complaining. And God had to use a symbol of evil to show them that I'm going to crucify the flesh, and the flesh will be destroyed, and there will be a deliverance for all who look to me. My God. And they had to see that image after they got, you know, bitten, after they complained. My God. Look at God still being gracious to his people. How, amen, how low they must have felt. Some of them that wanted to do right, they said, I should have never said that. And then the devil will make you fix your mouth to say stuff that you have no business saying. My God, you can't control the spheres that exist, the realms of glory. There's a spiritual realm. Amen. You don't have wisdom about it. Amen. But you're going to fix your lips. But you have all the evidence in the world to know that, amen, if it hadn't been for God, there's no respirator in the world that will keep you alive. God is the one that's keeping your heart beating, baby. Hallelujah. He's keeping your lungs breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. He keeps that blood flowing in your veins. Hey, how can we fix our lips to say, oh, maybe God doesn't exist and God doesn't love me? My God, the universe has more for me. Seriously? God made the universe. Amen. The fool hath said in his heart, what? There is no God. That's how the devil is playing us. He's making us a fool. Everybody plays the fool sometimes. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Help me to not play the fool.
Yes.
My God, fool said in his heart, there is no God. But they that believe in God must come to him like that. Believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. You got to keep on seeking him. You don't get up feeling like seeking him. You got to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. You have to command your soul. Command your head. Command your heart. Command your hands. Command your feet. Command your mind.
Yes.
Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You got to command it.
Yes.
Decree it. Declare it.
Hallelujah.
In the power of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you,
God
Jesus.
Brought the Holy Ghost to us so that, amen, we could be redeemed and be delivered and set free, filled with the Holy Ghost after he cleanses us. God is not going to fill a dirty vessel. He's going to clean that vessel. Then he's going to fill it with the good stuff. Then he's going to seal you to the day of redemption. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost still works. There is not a cessation of spirit. The Holy Ghost still works.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look at the third temptation. The third temptation about worshiping. What to worship? Jesus told him. He said, stay alive through holy hunger. Worship only the Lord your God. He was using Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Amen. Mm-hmm. I put Leviticus first, even though he quoted Deuteronomy. This scripture in Leviticus is tied to it. There are cross references. When you dig like that, you find the cross references. But I'll go to Deuteronomy first, 6, 13, and 14. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around you. He also quoted Deuteronomy 8:19, and it shall be if thou do at all forget the Lord your God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. Why? Because you're in outer darkness. What else are you going to do but perish? Amen. If you walk in God, you're going to be walking in life. God is life. And he is light, and in him there is no what? Darkness at all. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus was using also this scripture, and we're done after that. Leviticus 19:12 is tied to these Deuteronomy scriptures. Leviticus 19:12 says, you shall not swear by my name falsely. In other words, you're not going to have a fake life. You're not going to be a hypocrite. You're not going to say stuff that I didn't say. Amen? You're not going to quote me when I didn't even say that. Amen. You're not going to misquote me. You're not going to add stuff to my quotes. Amen. You're not going to take stuff away. Amen. He said, you shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Amen. I'm the creator. How are you going to, amen, curse the name of your life giver? My God. You're going to spit on the hand that's feeding you? Slap the hand that's trying to save you. There's no way you're going to be saved if you do that. He is the Savior of the world. He is bread for the hungry. He's water for the thirsty. Hallelujah. Taste and see what? That the Lord is good. Amen. Church, let's make certain that we pray to God this week, meditating regarding the endurance against demonic temptations. My God, to endure temptation successfully, you must live by the power of God's presence in your life. This is what the Holy Ghost was trying to say to me this week. People are fluently speaking in tongues, but they are yet disregarding me. I gave them a gift. It's not subject to repentance. Gifts come like that. And we gain an awareness, religiously speaking, ecclesiastically speaking. And we are endued and endowed with power in and all around us. Amen. But you could still, amen, be a worker of iniquity. That's very intriguing to me. But I've done this in your name. I've done that in your name. I speak fluently in tongues. I've done all these things. I have a high status in my church that I have developed through you. And look at my title. It's very high. There is none above me. You sound like the devil. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But this is how it is. The Holy Ghost is telling me, I'm in your life. It's like I'm the potter, you're the clay. Allow me to mold and make you. Mold me and make me after your will. Why I am yielded and still, amen. But we don't stay still to let the Holy Ghost mold and make us. We're too busy in competitions in our ecclesiastical world because I am more fluent in tongues than you. I have more giftings than you. Did you see the people fall in a domino effect in my church? When I laid hands on one, all of them received, and we were out. They were dropping like flies, baby. Competitive spirit in the house of God. All over Facebook. Yes, marketing has some kind of a good, you know, thing about it, but it will draw us like Satan tried to draw Jesus when he took him to the high pinnacle. And he was testing them about pride. We could, amen, be competing with each other unbeknownst to ourselves. Sometimes we do it strategically. And we want to prove that we're doing more than the next fellow's doing. Oh, it's lit over here. I don't know what they're doing over there. Ain't no party like put your church name there party because your church name party don't stop. And we are competing with one another. We're supposed to be building each other up in the most holy faith. Then you hear in the scripture that one church was high in the Holy Ghost, but very poor financially. And there was another church very rich financially, but impoverished spiritually. And they were able to help each other. The little poor church that had a lot of power, they were able to disciple the mighty rich church that barely knew of God. Amen. So we need each other. There's going to be an equalizing. Amen. God has brought us together and we're going to help. The weak will have burdens that will be bared by the strong. Amen. So the strong is going to help the weak. The weak is going to help the strong and vice versa. And when you get it all together and God fixes everything, we're all going to walk together in faith and be happy in Jesus alone. Hallelujah. This is how God has made it. Amen. But we have taken it upon ourselves to be fleshly and carnal, falling prey to the temptation of the bread, falling prey to the temptation of the pinnacle drop, falling prey to the temptation of idolatrous worship. Yes. But God wants to birth us into his family. We ought to be in the family of God, not the family of our own fleshly competitiveness. Yes. My God. Mm-hmm. But birthed into the family of God, continuously teaching and preaching so that we prevail against the devil and his temptations. And God will give us access to the strength needed for a good success. Amen. The devil's philosophies must be drowned in the Red Sea of God's faith, hope, and love. When you lovingly seek God the way he seeks after you, you will always have the upper hand against falling prey to the devil's temptations. It's all about God's love. We must prevail with God's love. We must live by God's love. We must live by God's word, by holy faith. And desires that we have in us will always be helpful, healing, wholesome, and holy. Amen. Remember the hindrances to watch and pray about. And God will enable us to endure temptations. Somebody give God a praise for his word. For the Holy Ghost who is yet working in our midst. Hallelujah. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. We thank you. We give you the glory. Hallelujah.
We of the realm of Agape Christian Church pray that the Holy Word of God has richly blessed your soul. To send prayer requests, use the contacts page of our website, www.roagape.org. We need your continued prayers and financial support to maintain this ministry. You can also find a secure means of donating on our website. God bless you.